Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
I went to Star Wars last night with my family. I finally saw Star Wars, and it was amazing. I'm just going to say, this is the thing I can't handle, because I think this is like, it relates to sports in such a big way. I can't handle the people that are hating on this movie. I mean, there might be things about it that you don't like, and if you are the biggest Star Wars nerd ever, okay?
If you have lost relationships over your relationship with Star Wars.
If you've heard this sentence in your life, it's the prequels or me, and you're still alone, then fine.
We know what your choice is.
You can get mad at it, but to me, this movie delivered in that we were. I went with my family. We were transported to another place and another time.
A galaxy far, far away.
It was a great experience. We laughed. We cried. We were happy. We were excited. You got scared in moments. There was enough Chewy for all of us. We were able to chew on enough of this thing.
There it is.
It was great. And it's what you realize is it is so difficult to sustain that franchise at the level that it's at.
Okay? Sometimes I just don't understand human behavior.
Right? Exactly. Oh, you're mad at something that didn't exist 45 years ago? Some guy just made it up, and now you're mad at what he's making up within a world he created?
Yeah.
You're mad at that?
To me, that's like being mad. Like if LeBron goes to the finals this year, you're mad at him because he makes it to the... If he doesn't win, you're like, this is a very difficult thing to do. There were how many, like 10, 11 Star Wars movies?
The Lakers before LeBron were starting Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, essentially. Okay?
And so now we're back. We're back in Rise of the Sky. We're back in actual episodes that we like again.
Yeah.
And look, here's my issue with Jar Jar Binks. A simple fix could have changed everything if they would have had him speak in gibberish and subtitled his words.
That's right.
You could have had that accent.
By the way, he is not, there's not lip flap there. This is a character. You're not watching. It's not like a character. It's not like Carrie Fisher delivered a bad performance.
If they went back in and re-edited.
That to me.
Dubbed it in a different language, like nonsense space language.
And nonsense space language and just did subtitles. I think they could save Phantom Menace. You could save it if you just.
If you don't agree with us, call in and we'll tell you why you're wrong.
But I do think there is that expectation that it's got to be at a certain level. And if it doesn't hit that level.
Give them the phone number to call in and
800-636-8686. Call us.
It isn't fair.
It isn't fair.
Do you know what I'm saying? That like there's the expectation that it's.
Look, here's the deal. And this will transition us perfect into our next take. You can't be mad at Star Wars. They hit a bullseye with the first three.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they land on the dartboard, you got to accept it.
You got to just say, okay. You got to say, okay, they hit the dartboard. At least this was a fun experience. At least I didn't have to talk to my family for 2.5 hours.
Boom.
Thank you, George Lucas. Thank you, Star Wars. But there are people who are like, I didn't like the circle wipe in this scenario. I didn't like the fact that, why'd you have to put the Ewoks in it? Enough. Just enjoy it.
Enjoy something.
Like, enjoy the fact that LeBron is taking you to the playoffs. Enjoy it.
Be a light in your life. Don't be darkness.
Enjoy the fact that he's taking you to the playoffs, and it doesn't matter that he's 2-7.
Impressive.
Okay, so let's get into darts. And we could probably keep the same music on, because something happened in the world of darts that... Yep. It rocked our lives, all right?
And first of all, Jay and I watched darts on Cheap Seats, our old show on ESPN Classic.
And there, back in the 70s, there was a men's division and a women's division.
And I'm telling you, I could not tell the men from the women.
They all looked the same. They all look like Pro Bowler Mark Roth.
They all.
That's what everyone looked like.
Everybody looked like
Mark Roth.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this woman, Fallon Sherrock, she just pulled off one of the rarest feats in all of sports.
Didn't Puffy promote her vodka?
Sherrock.
Mm-hmm. Fallon, yeah, Sherrock.
I think so. She beat a male competitor in her adults championship. So they finally combined the men's and women's league, which they should have. And look, here we are in this moment. And I'm telling you right now, this is a big feat. This is a big deal.
Anytime like a Shirley Muldowney comes in and beats the men.
But here's the deal. Listen to the crowd go wild when she wins. Alvy, do we have the clip of the...
All he's got is a 60 bullseye.
Love it.
All he's got is a bullseye.
That's all he's got.
That's all he's got.
Listen to that crowd. Okay, now she steps up.
What is this?
Listen to the crowd.
Is this a Jacob Chavez Jr. match?
6 left for Fallon Sherrock.
So I let the woman... She missed it right there, but then she hits it.
Are you serious?
Sharon smashes the glass ceiling.
Are you serious?
I'm going to tell you something. More energy in that crowd than in all the Tampa Bay Rays games last season.
And the Rays made the playoffs. Like, there were more people at that darts ballroom than at a Tampa Bay Rays game.
By the way, this audio is not doctored. This is exactly how it happened. There are probably darts hooligans, like, ruining a town right now.
Just insane. Are you... This...
She did.
A woman stepped up to a line and did something that you and I can do in a bar, and that is the response that she got.
I want to tell you, I was so inspired by this. My daughter, who's 5 or turned 6, got a dartboard for someone, and I'm like, come on, we're going to start practicing.
Let's go. I want to teach you to be a champion. Go beat the dudes. Go walk in there and take what's yours, honey.
And she did it. And they did it. They should start combining sexes in more sports. Scrabble
This is Ray versus the Emperor. This is Ray versus Kylo Ren. That's exactly what you were doing. And the crowd goes wild.
Crowd went crazy.
I want the crowd to go that wild for anything that we do.
Are you serious?
Okay, here's... All right, I want you to compare that. I want to do a comparison, Alvy. Okay, I'm sure you have sound on Jose Altuve hitting the home run to win that playoff game this year. You got to find that sound because, to me, there's a sound that the crowd makes when Altuve hits the home run.
Where they, like, can't believe that it's happening.
They can't believe it. You can
barely hear the guy hitting the trash can in the dugout.
You can barely hear them trying to tell them that it's a breaking ball coming.
He's looking for it. But, all right, but that energy in that crowd, that can only be followed by some dummy dude saying, I can beat this woman.
That's right. Some guy,
you know what's coming next.
You know what's coming next is a dummy saying, I can beat her.
All right, this is Jose Altuve off Chapman in ALCS Game 7.
Altuve!
Okay.
All right, now go back and play us.
Go back and play the darts, okay? Just go back and play the darts.
This is insane. I just love the fact that it's like the same level of intensity coming from these people.
So you heard Altuve just walked off.
Well, even Joe Buck got crazy and up. He got nuts.
That's crazy.
36 left for Fallon Sherrick.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it's close.
It's the same thing. So of course,
so then
just trying to put it into context. So like nobody, now Altuve, this is somewhat similar because Altuve is, I believe,
5'2",
just a hair shorter than Muggsy Bogues.
So, and yes, that's an amazing feat. This is a bigger deal. And of course, Piers Morgan, which his name should be Pierce. I'm going to say it right now.
Like change your name to what it should be. Like it shouldn't be Piers. Like multiple piers on a... Hey, did you go down and see the piers, the Santa Monica piers?
I went to 2 different Piers 1 imports to get a Papa San chair.
Do you call them Piers 1 imports or Pier 1?
Pier 1. So Piers Morgan says, I can beat this woman, and has her on his dumb morning show.
Morgan, who is a talk show host.
A dummy. Just like a dumb fat guy in a suit. And he goes, look, I can have her on. I can show her, you know, that I can beat her. And he puts up a 22, which is horrible. Mm-hmm. That's a terror. Okay, you can't beat her. You mm-hmm. can't. Mm-hmm. She puts up not even a great round. She puts up like a 40, 41.
She smokes you. I would argue that she'd do a better job hosting your show.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's when you think you can step up and beat that woman. To me, that was a wonderful victory. That was very Star Wars-esque.
Are you craving some protein after a good workout? Of course you are. This time, do not make a shake or eat a bar. Reach for a bag of beef jerky from Old Trapper. Old Trapper beef jerky is tasty. It's tender. It's made from real strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a wood fire. It goes wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. So look for Old Trapper. It's in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
All right. Coming in hot with a little fish, a little tweezer reprise on a Monday. The squad brothers filling in for Jim Rome. I play that music because the gentleman we'll be talking to shortly Is a huge, huge Fish fan.
Yeah.
In addition to his extensive knowledge of the NBA. I'm joking.
Will Brinson. He is the NFL Jalen expert Brunson of the NFL.
Rick Brunson's. You got a tweet, Jay?
Yes. From at, this is Val Trilmer.
Mm-hmm.
At David in Aliyev.
Mm-hmm.
More Philly fans going to the Wawa Clones.
Okay. Appreciate there you that. Go. Nice, Jay. All right. Well,
Val Kilmer.
So we're going to be talking. The NFL is heating up right now in such a way that, to me, I'm so excited heading into the playoffs because you just don't know what's going to happen. And to break it all down for us, to help us out, is the great Will Brinson. Welcome to the show, buddy. How you doing?
Doing well, guys. A little under the weather with some preschool death flu, but I'm going to fight through. Thanks for having me. And what a dream come true to have somehow gotten Fish played on.
Hey, man.
The jungle. Right?
Look, man. We saw Fish in 1993 in St. Louis at the American Theater. Ow. So that's early days. That's some Susie Greenberg. That's some
97 or yeah. 98 was my first show back in Raleigh. My parents were none too pleased.
I'm sure the clones are really excited about us, like, getting into
deep into the Fish.
Maybe we can do an extensive.
Let's talk about the Littleton, Colorado show of 1990.
Let's talk about the concept album Gamehenge. All right, Will, we got to talk. I want to just make sense of what's happening, and I want you to just, at a level, tell me how upset is Minnesota and Seattle that they're not playing in a division with Dallas and Philly.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because the Vikings need a lot of help here to win the division. They have to win out, of course.
Yep.
The Packers tonight. They have to beat the Bears in week 17. And then the Vikings have to lose to the Lions. And since no one loses to the Lions, especially Aaron Rodgers, it seems very unlikely that Minnesota will win the Packers, win the division.
Yeah, yeah, you meant the Packers have to lose to the Lions, which is not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. So, I mean, basically, the Vikings are hosed here, and they would much prefer to be in the NFC East, where coaching is voluntary, or coaching is not voluntary. It's like it's maybe Jason Garrett will coach, and maybe he won't coach.
Yeah.
Maybe the plane will work, maybe the plane won't work.
There's
it's
less pressure.
Division, and I wouldn't be surprised if both the Eagles and Cowboys lost in Week 17. That would be the beautiful thing.
Yeah, I feel like someone is going to limp in, and how funny would it be if the Eagles then do win a playoff game? They're going to host something. It's just insane to me that at whatever record they're going to be at, 8-8, you know, 9-7. But I do believe that if you are looking at the teams, Seattle, certainly Seattle and San Francisco, the Saints, you got a lot of opportunities for, I don't know who's coming out of the NFC this year.
Yeah, I think it is probably the most difficult the conference has ever been to sort of hash out. They're an 11-win team.
Mm-hmm.
They're hosting the 49ers, and the winner gets the division and maybe a top 1, 2, 3 seed, depending on how things shake out. And yet, if Seattle loses, I don't think they'll be favored if they go to Philly for wild card weekend. They just lost Dwayne Brown for the season. They just lost Chris Carson for the season.
Yeah, wow.
They're floating the idea that they might sign Marshawn Lynch. What are we doing?
It's
not 2020.
Beast mode. Hey, man, if you need 1 yard at the goal line and you've got Marshawn Lynch, you just don't give it to him.
You play action and you throw it.
That's what happens.
They're a house of cards, though. Like, if you look at their point differential, they're basically, they profile, according to the Pythagorean theorem, and win expectancy is like an 8.5 win team, and they're an 11 win team. I don't want to call them frauds because they have Russell Wilson and they're very good. Like, they have Pete Carroll, they have Russell Wilson, Tyler Lockett, et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, like, they are not an 11 win team, and it's going to come toppling down at some point, and that might be this coming weekend or in the playoffs.
Are you saying that they're as much of an 11 win team as Buffalo is a 10 win team in the AFC?
Sort of. I mean, the Packers are even worse, I think, on their court difference. They're bad, too. They're sort of fraudulent as well. I buy into Buffalo because Sean McDermott just manages to, like, he takes this really old rotten lemon and squeezes it and somehow gets delicious lemonade out of it.
Yeah.
Well, you look up and the Chiefs are 11-4. Obviously, the Ravens are just off the hook this year.
13-2.
The Texans are good. I mean, again, it's driven by a dual threat quarterback. So, I mean, and then the Patriots. Let's talk about the Patriots. 12-3. You would think if you sort of looked at them this year and who they lost to and how they lost, this is a down year for them. And yet, you can't. Are we going to count them out?
No. I think they're good value to get to win it all. They're like 5-1 right now.
Okay.
They're going to beat the Dolphins in Week 17. They're going to get the 2 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just have to win one game at home, either against, probably against the Chiefs.
Right. They're
going to be the 3 seed.
Mm-hmm.
So to beat Kansas City and Andy Reid in the playoffs at home.
Which they've
and
done.
And then you have to go to Baltimore and beat the Ravens. I mean, both these teams they've already seen once this year. So Bill Belichick has tons of film, tons of experience. They can prep for him. They're starting to run the ball better. And Tom Brady just has to summon the, he has to just conjure up the old man ghost,
right,
or old man power and just rip through 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden he's in the Super Bowl and they got 2 weeks to prepare for Sean Payton or Mike Zimmer or whoever else is coming out of that side.
Not only do the Patriots have good film on these teams, they have great film on the sidelines of every team.
It's always good to have that sideline.
Is that okay? So that comes out. All our Patriots fans and people we know who support the Pats are like, come on, you're going back down this road. You're just trying. All teams do this. Or is this a pattern of behavior that we've seen with the Patriots? And is this worth getting into from your perspective?
I think it was notable in that NFL 100 episode, mm-hmm, that Bill Belichick was on. He quoted Sun Tzu, mm-hmm, the old, Chinese warlord.
Art of War, yeah.
Yeah, Art of War, it says, if you know yourself but don't know your enemy, you will lose more battles than you win. And that's his go-to mantra.
Right.
That's Belichick's go-to mantra. And so I think he believes he should know the tendencies, know the personnel, know the formations, know everything about the teams he's playing. And so, yeah, I mean, like, it kind of fits with his approach towards football is know your enemy. And he wants to know his enemy. And what better way to know your enemy than by filming him illegally from the press box?
So, I believe it was Sun Tzu who also said, burn the tape. He said that famously in The Art of War.
He said, burn the tape, bro.
Burn the tape, bro.
There was another line in there, too, where he's like, the Bengals, really?
Yeah, exactly. The Bengals, that's just...
Bengals almost tried to lose Joe Burrow. Did you see that? I mean, to me, that was a moment where all of Cincinnati was like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
How dare you try at this moment? We've got him.
John Breach, my colleague, whose dad is actually a former Jim Breach, the old Bengals kicker from back in their Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, Jim Breach. Jesus.
Yeah, Jim Breach is the man.
Mm-hmm.
Power stash back in the 70s.
So huge. John, Ken Anderson.
John, who Jim writes Breach at CBS,
yeah,
is a big Bengals fan, obviously. And
sure.
He called it the most glorious game in Bengals history because not only did they – Andy Dalton came back and, like, reminded everybody why they loved the Red Rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to overtime. And it was thrilling and crazy. But then they also lost, and they saved the number one pick.
So they did what they had to do.
You showed the promise of what it would be. And, by the way
– don't survive in advance is actually the attitude there.
It's the attitude they have. I mean, the other thing about the Patriots is they don't ever show you everything in the regular season. So there are these – they hold stuff back, and then they just empty the playbook in the playoffs and beat you with things you've never seen on film before. Belichick is famous for that.
Yeah, like remember when he did when he had the split out,
yeah,
lineman, and was just destroying John Harbaugh with it. He, mm-hmm, definitely, he knows that he's going to have something like that to beat the Ravens this year because Lamar Jackson is so good. But I think it's interesting. We saw on one series against the Browns yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews, and Mark Ingram all got hurt.
That's
and
right.
Not that, like, they're going to fall apart all of a sudden, but and they're peaking. And they've been peaking all season, so
right.
I think they're in great shape. But, like, you're really going to beat Belichick twice, and you don't think he's going to have something he's going to pull out of his little bag of coal and just bust out on you in the middle of January?
So
I would be nervous if I was the Ravens.
Well, that is really what it comes down to. You say, does the talent of Lamar Jackson, is it enough to overcome the wisdom and game planning of a Bill Belichick? And maybe it is. I've seen Lamar Jackson do stuff on the football field this year that you've never seen a quarterback do, ever. He gets to the edge so quickly. His burst is incredible, and he's throwing the ball really well.
You got to respect the throw.
I can't believe, what does he have, over 1,100 yards rushing? I cannot believe that this dude, he could have like 1,300 yards rushing in this season, which is just beyond my comprehension.
He and Ingram, because Ingram toppled 1,000 yards too. They're the first quarterback running back duo to do it since Vic and Warwick Dunn. And yeah, I mean, like, Lamar, what's crazy, what's so great about the Ravens is they built this ecosystem around Lamar Jackson. They got the tight ends. They got the speedy deep threat wide receivers in Marquise Brown. They got running backs who operate great out of shotgun.
That's right.
They have a coach who has the huevos to go for it on every fourth down he needs to.
Love
and
that.
So like it's all designed to make Lamar Jackson great and to utilize his talents. And they haven't taken their foot off the gas. And that's it's incredible. And like that's what smart teams do. They build or they don't cater. They don't jam players into square pegs, right? They or square holes. You know, they build around their players. And
right.
They did that with Lamar, and that's why he's flourishing.
I agree with that. And I feel like another team on the other side of the coin are the San Francisco 49ers. It feels like they're doing kind of the same thing for Jimmy G. They're building a team around that guy. And look at the success they're having.
Yeah. Look, like, and you could also say the same thing about Kirk Cousins. Jimmy G thrives off of play action, being able to read and make these throws across the middle, George Kittle on the little outs and let Kittle do the yak stuff. You know, he's not standing back and dropping seven steps and chunking verticals to, you know, to his wide receivers. Like, Kyle Shanahan schemes guys open, and that's okay. You're building around Jimmy Garoppolo. Once he gets comfortable and he gets in the flow and his rhythm, like he's a rhythm passer, he starts to get on a roll. And you see it early. Like, he'll get a little shaky if you pressure him, but then Kyle schemes up some play action stuff, some easy throws across the middle.
Throw it to Kittle. Throw it to Kittle and get your confidence back up is really what it is.
You have Kittle fake like he's blocking, then you bootleg Jimmy G, and Kittle runs it out. You get it to Kittle, and all of a sudden they start cooking. And once they do that, they're hard to stop. And that run game, if it's rolling, is really, really good. And so, the 49ers, I think we're sort of sleeping on them for some reason. Maybe it's because they struggled against the Falcons late, and then they played on Saturday, so they're sort of out of our minds.
Right.
And if they beat the Seahawks, they're going to be the one seed.
They will be.
Come through San Francisco.
Which would be amazing. And to have that excitement back in San Francisco, I mean, that it just would be since the Harbaugh days, which seemed like many, many moons ago. But all right. Thanks, my man. Dude, great stuff. Are you going to be live tweeting the live stream of the Fish shows over New Year's in Madison Square Garden? Are you going to be doing that?
I won't be up there, but I'll be live tweeting some Couch Tour, almost certainly.
Nice. I love it. And where people can find you on the Twitters, please follow you.
At Will Brinson.
At Will Brinson. And check out My Voice is Better on the podcast, Daily NFL Podcast, the Pick Six Podcast. You can check it out on Apple Podcasts.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Hour 2. Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome. Happy holidays. If you are driving to go meet loved ones, if you're finishing up your work week before the holidays, if you're just high on Hanukkah Manischewitz, just we're happy to have you here. Welcome to the show.
If you dig what we're doing, we have a podcast called View from the Cheap Seats. Subscribe to that. It's pretty much what we do here.
Our weekly take on the world of sports, a little comedy, and music mixed in. If you like the music we're playing here, that's what we do. By the way, this program, Jay, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Matt Weiner is going to be calling in a short bit.
To recap what we talked about in hour one.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas, 2-game suspension.
The fans got banned for a year who confronted him, which I don't even know how you enforce that. But
just wanted a Frosty.
He wanted a Frosty.
That's all this dude wanted.
That sounds bizarrely sexual. I don't like that.
Just wanted all a Frosty.
All he wanted was a Frosty. I looked it up. I was like, do I have to now look up what a Frosty is? That's just a dessert at Wendy's.
It's not a blizzard. It ain't a blizzard, bro.
It ain't a blizzard.
Just want a Frosty.
Matt Weiner is with us right now.
This is a guy who probably has 3 to 6 Frosties a day.
No, he does not. Did you just want a Frosty, Matt Weiner? Come on, is a two-game ban? I thought IT handled that pretty well. What did you think?
You're talking about Isaiah Thomas.
Yes, sir.
I came in the middle of the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he handled it really well. The problem is the league instituted a rule a while back saying if you go into the stands, you're going to get suspended.
Yeah, so he knew what he was getting into.
As calmly as he went in there, he crossed what they consider a bright line.
Right.
And so it's pretty much automatic. By the way, it's always fascinating when you join a radio show in progress, because when I'm, you know, sort of plugged into your conversation, the first words I hear are bizarrely sexual.
Right, I know. Well, that's always the way we like to bring you into the conversation, Matt Weiner. The bizarrely sexual Matt Weiner. No, we were just talking about someone just saying, "I just wanted a Frosty," or like
a Frosty.
You know what I'm saying? That just felt. I had to look it up before I realized. No, he just wanted a dessert from Wendy's.
A Frosty's a beverage, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, it's,
I think it's
a euphemism.
Other meaning. I don't know about?
No, I don't. I looked it up and there isn't. So thankfully we cleared okay. that up. Stop okay. with that music. But so all right, let's talk about the NBA this year, because I don't know about you, and you've been covering it for a long time, but I feel like this year from the get-go, from literally the first game when the Lakers played the Clippers.
Every game feels like a playoff game. Are we wrong to say that?
It's a great season.
No, it's a fantastic season. And it goes back to the summertime mm-hmm. when, you know, after all the changes, I realized that for the first time in probably, I don't know, 10 years, I didn't know with like 95% certainty who would win at least one of the two conferences.
Right.
And that's great. Like, that's all you really want is some, you know, a reason to watch during the regular season and a reason to figure things out during the regular season. And it has made for some really interesting matchups and some really interesting intensity as teams try to prove things to themselves and to each other along the way. It's been good stuff.
It has. I feel like for me, as I'm watching a lot of these games, I feel like everybody's got two guys. That is my little attitude towards it. Like, yeah. And the Lakers have LeBron and Anthony Davis. The Clippers have Kawhi and Paul George. And obviously they've got supportive guys around that. But the Rockets.
You can't play with just two.
You can't play with just two.
The rules dictate you have to have more.
You have to have more. That's a great point.
But two guys that take games over. And when they do that, I mean, I'm even talking about, we're talking about a Toronto Raptors game last night. They were down 30 points in the fourth quarter, and they come back and they win. Like, that's the kind of game that felt like a
so
playoff.
The Raptors
game.
To me are the Raptors and the Heat are the pleasant surprises of the East this year. I did not see them sitting 3-4. Did you?
No, they're not only pleasant surprises. They're also exceptions to your two guy rule because they're both sort of ensemble casts. You know, Miami has a legit star in Jimmy Butler, and Bam Adebayo may turn out to be an all-star this season, but, you know, before now, you wouldn't have guessed that.
Nope.
But they play good defense. They play together. Butler, as prickly as he can be, is a really good teammate when he's in the right mind frame, and he likes this team. He personally picked that organization because he likes the work ethic there. Miami is famous for being tough on players in terms of, you know, conditioning tests and having to reach body fat quotas and that sort of thing. And he's embraced that. He's all about that. You know, the complaints you've heard from Butler in the past about teammates have been, these guys don't work hard enough. He wanted that.
That's right.
I think that's one of the reasons he's not in Philadelphia, because I think you can fairly look at Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and say, yeah, I don't know if these guys work hard enough. I don't know if they love it. I don't know if they really want it as talented as they are. And I think that's part of the reason Butler's not there anymore, and he's in Miami.
And
Toronto, you know, Kawhi Leonard, who, you know, some people think might be the best player on the planet now. He's certainly among the top three. He walks out the door, and you think, well, that was a great story for Toronto and for Canada. They win a championship, but okay, they're going to be a sixth seed or a seventh seed. Some of our guys on NBA TV thought they wouldn't even make the playoffs this year.
Mm-hmm.
They've been unbelievable.
They've been incredible. And like you were saying, Heat sitting 3, Sixers sitting 5 now in the East as we speak right now. I think there are a lot of parallels. So in the Western Conference, I don't know if anybody thought the Mavericks would be as good as they are this year. I knew you think they're good. They got a superstar. But the emergence of Luka, I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? They have emerged in a way, and I don't think we've seen the best of Porzingis yet.
No, not at all. Well, I mean, I think most of us thought that Dallas could contend for a playoff spot. Not that they could conceivably have home court in the playoffs, which is the way it looks like right now. And granted, we're only 25, 27 games into the season for most of these teams. But Luka has been unleashed in a way that we couldn't have imagined, because they're all in on Luka. His usage rate has shot up.
Yep.
And they run everything through him. And I think with Porzingis, he was out a year, right? So he's still figuring it out, and they're still figuring out what to do with him. They don't really have, if you watch them play, they don't really have a go-to spot for him.
Right.
And I'm still not exactly sure what his favorite spots on the floor are. He's a really talented guy. Obviously, he's got incredible size and mobility for that size. But I think there's a lot of upside with him. And without Luka, who's been out the last four games with his ankle injury, Dallas has shown that they're still an incredibly efficient offensive team. They've been one or two in offensive efficiency most of the season, and that's basically continued without him on the floor. So they are more than just Luka. Despite the fact, if you look up and down the roster, you probably wouldn't say this is one of the most talented teams in the league.
But they have someone that they can go. If you got that go-to guy who can have the ball in his hands at the end of the game, I feel like it's like having a great, number one pitcher. You know, you have like again, absolutely, like Jay was saying, it can get you through the playoffs in certain series. It can get you there. I think the Jazz, Utah, and Indiana remind me of each other in both conferences. Both made some great moves offseason. And yes, they're kind of in the, you know, the Jazz are six and Indiana, I believe it. Yeah. So, I mean, they're both, but I think they're both poised to make moves with great roster upgrades this offseason.
Yeah. The thing is, they're in about the same spot and they are very similar because they're both defensive minded teams. Mm-hmm. They don't play especially fast. But I think those of us who cover the NBA look at them very differently right now because mm-hmm. Indiana is maybe overachieving a little bit as they still wait on Victor Oladipo to come back.
Right.
The potential for Oladipo and Malcolm Brogdon to play together is pretty interesting if you sure. think about what the two of them can do. Brogdon can play either guard spot. He can guard either guard position.
Yep.
He's a shooter. He doesn't have to have the ball in his hands. Oladipo is a guy who can finish games for them in terms of a playmaker and scorer. So they figure to get better. Utah is a little bit of a disappointment. I mean, a lot of folks, myself included, thought they would probably finish the regular season at least top three in the West
mm-hmm.
With the additions that they made in the offseason. Mike Conley's been hurt, and when he's been on the floor, he just hasn't looked at all like himself. He's not been very good for them. And maybe that's just the unfamiliarity of having played his whole career in Memphis and all of a sudden
right.
having a new offense. Maybe the injuries have taken their toll. It's, you know, it's hard to say, but between he and Bojan Bogdanović, who I would say has pretty much been what they thought he would be, he's
right.
a scorer, that's what he does.
Right.
But the offense has not been as good as we suspected it would be, and that's what they were trying to address. And their defense hasn't been quite as good as it's been the last few years.
Well,
again, plenty of time to go, but
exactly.
they're not quite where I thought they'd be.
They're not quite where they are, but they're sitting in a spot where they could move up.
But there's a lot of talent ahead of them. I watched the Rockets-Clippers game the other night, and I'm like, these guys are banging like it's the playoffs. And you
yep.
look at the Rockets and you say to yourself,
well, they hate each other, which helps.
They hate each other, so there's that. But the fact that like it was Westbrook's game through the first three quarters and then you almost kind of forgot about Harden, but then he just took over and you're like, wait, I don't know how any team can combat this because Harden can do it all by himself. And then, oh yeah, there's Westbrook there and you still have the cast of supporters around him.
Yeah. I mean, it's still, you know, there are plenty of ways you can look at it and nitpick the arrangement
sure,
because
sure.
Westbrook without the ball in his hands is kind of a clunky fit for James Harden
mm-hmm.
and vice versa. You know, Westbrook is not a good shooter, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't have the ball in his hands, he's got to move without it to be effective. And Harden's going to need the ball in his hands a ton. Where they're really effective as a tandem is kind of when they're not on the floor together. So they can stagger their minutes, and Mike D'Antoni's been doing that. You get sort of a change-up. Houston normally does not play fast, despite D'Antoni's reputation, with Harden in the game. They play really slow, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
With Westbrook, you know, he can grab a rebound and just take off, and
that's right.
2 seconds later, he's at the rim. And that's something they have really missed because they were not a particularly athletic team. The question for them is going to be, you know, can they summon up the kind of defense we saw from them a couple of years ago? Because that's what's going to determine how far they go in the playoffs.
That's right. Are the Celtics the most under the radar number two seed that I think they're playing great. And I think that, you know, Brad Stevens has the team he wants. He has his players there
yep.
now. I think, you know, he without Kyrie there, I think Kemba Walker's a better fit for that team. But I kind of like it feels like the pressure's off them a little bit as they sit at the number two seed in the East.
Absolutely. Totally under the radar and totally loving that. You know, you knew that when Kyrie walked and they brought in Kemba Walker,
mm-hmm.
Kyrie is a better player at his best than Kemba Walker, but not by a ton. And I think Kemba Walker clearly is a better locker room presence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was beloved in Charlotte. They never got anywhere with him. And so you could argue that there's a ceiling if he's your best player. But in Boston, he joins guys who have upside still. We saw what Jason Tatum did last night. He had 39.
God. Yeah.
Jaylen Brown's having the best season of his career. Gordon Hayward is going to be back again soon, maybe even on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems to fit better. They don't have the log jam of wings that they've had the last few years. And for whatever reason, it works. And Kyrie, you know, has said he wasn't the best teammate last year. He had some personal stuff going on. You know, he is moody. That story's been out there.
Right.
And I do think it affects the day-to-day with a team when your star player is not as engaged as he wants to be. And maybe that's because he didn't choose Boston in the first place.
That's right.
Maybe that's because of the stuff he was going through. But everyone seems happy in Boston now. And despite everything they lost, because remember, it wasn't just Kyrie. It was Al Horford leaving for Philadelphia. Aaron mm-hmm. Baines was a big part of that team. He's
yep.
gone as well.
Yep.
And somehow they're better. And it's funny how that just sort of works sometimes in the NBA.
Well, you understand what a system that Brad Stevens has put in place there. I mean, they look like they're having fun. I mean, I think perhaps maybe the greatest thing that Kemba Walker brings is a belief that the world is round. That's another story in another scenario.
Whole different philosophy.
But
I've never asked him about that specifically.
I would ask him, Matt. I would ask him if he thinks.
I think that's where he stands on that issue. Yeah.
He's not a flat earther. But no. There's one video I want to point to, and I'm sure you saw it. It was taken by someone, I want to say, in the front, almost like the front row, but when Brad Stevens brings in Taco Fall into the game,
yeah.
and he waits until the crowd starts going on, and he on the sidelines is kind of whooping up the crowd himself, and then he tells right. That moment was fun. That's something that, you know, you see some of the players having fun, but to see the coach enjoy,
it's like a Scalabrine moment.
Yeah, it was just
yeah.
It felt like these guys are enjoying what they're doing, and that has to have something to do with the success of a team.
Absolutely. Well, they're winning also. I mean, that always
sure.
that always makes it more fun. But
sure.
It's rare you see the coach give into that, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, they have their ideas about who's going to play and who can play. And they obviously know things we don't in terms of injuries and development and that sort of stuff. But he clearly gave in to the crowd and to his daughter,
yeah.
who wanted Taco Fall to come into the game.
I mean,
and by the way,
whose daughter doesn't?
Back in the day, you know, at 5'11", not 7'6",
yeah.
but I was the Taco Fall of Hazelwood West High School.
In St. Louis, Missouri. That's
yeah.
right. You were there.
Yeah.
Everyone was calling for, bring in Weiner. Bring him in.
And then, Hazelwood West.
Right.
Everyone's daughter
yeah.
was saying, bring in Weiner. Well, you guys can see Matt as we see him on NBA TV's signature studio show, Game Time. You are fantastic on that show. Turner Sports carrying 3 NBA doubleheaders this week, including TNT's Thursday coverage at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's one of my favorite things to do over the Christmas break is watch a little NBA, and nobody covers it better than you. Matt, thanks for joining us on the show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Happy holidays to you guys.
You too. Happy Hanukkah.
God, no!